This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls all over the fruited plain, new book today. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Jude, J-U-D-E, the tiny little magnificent book just before Revelation. Revelation is the last book of the New Testament, and we're going to study Jude today. Now, Jude is Greek for the Hebrew word Judah, J-U-D-A-H, and it means praise. Now, what you want to know about Jude is he is Jesus' half-brother, just like James, who wrote the book of James. After Mary bore Jesus, and God the Father was the father of Jesus, the Immaculate Conception, Mary and Joseph had other children. Matthew 13, round about 55, you'll see there Judah. So he is writing this. Now, I am entitling this, "Look Out, the Fallen Angels Are Coming." Jude is a warning, a prophecy for those of us living at the very end time. Remember, Paul said these things happen to them for an example, so that you will not be deceived. So let's hear the book of Jude, one chapter.
The book of Jude, chapter 1, there's just one chapter, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ.
Now, what you want to know is that Jesus' half-brothers and sisters, listed there in Matthew 13, 55, and so forth, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until Jesus resurrected. And then they believed, and then they became loyal servants of Jesus.
The brother of James, to them who are sanctified by God.
All right, he's writing this to those of you who are sanctified. A sanctified is a set-aside one, set aside for holy use. That would be the elect. Are you set aside for holy use? Are you totally dedicated to the Lord, called, chosen, and elected? Okay, this is for you.
Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ.
Preserved means saved, so anyone who's saved, this is also for you, even if you are a carnal Christian, one foot in the world and one foot in the church, this is for you if you're preserved or saved.
And called.
And those who are called, many are called, but few are chosen. What he's doing here is writing a special letter to warn and alert the children of God who are living here at these end times. We are that end generation.
Grace to mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you,
beloved, all of you listening, I really gave a lot of thought and study and prayer to write this letter. I put my best into this letter for you, says Jude.
Of the common salvation.
Of the common salvation. Now, this does not mean that it's ordinary or just everybody has it. It means of the salvation that those of you who are elect, who are saved, that you have in common. The beautiful salvation of having repented of your sins and having them washed away with the blood of Jesus, who died and arose from the dead.
It is needful for me to write unto you.
It's very important that I write. The Holy Spirit is urging me. It's so important that I write this letter to you, elect, chosen of God, here at the end of this flesh age.
And exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
earnestly contend means I want you to strive, to press in, to keep your faith, because Satan is going to try to sift your faith, and he's going to tell you why you need faith, because he said everybody's been given faith. Once all of you had faith, but if you're not careful, your faith will fail you because of the troubles and tribulations of life and because of what's about to happen. And he's about to tell you that.
Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares.
All right. Now, the word angel means a young man. He says there are certain men who crept in secretly. They did not wait their turn to be born from above, which is what born again means. He's speaking of the fallen angels of Genesis 6. You'll find there that it says the sons of God went in unto the daughters of Adam, the man Adam. The sons of God in the Hebrew is Napha Nephilim, fallen angels, and they went into them. Now you say, how can an angel go into a woman? An angel is a young man, and there is substance. In other words, this goes back to the world that then was, the first earth age. World means age. When Satan rebelled and brought sin into the equation, and we were all there in our spiritual body, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, ere the silver cord breaks, when you die in the flesh, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all there in spirit form. Now, because of Satan's rebellion in the first earth age, called the catabole in the Greek in Ephesians 1, 4, everybody then was found guilty except a small group of God's elect. But everybody has to come through the second earth age. God destroyed the first earth age one time in the flesh to choose Jesus or to choose the devil. And to be born again means to be born from above. The elect are sent out to bring forth the oracles, the mystery of God, but everybody else, it's your second chance. But these fallen angels did not wait their turn. Instead of waiting to be born of women, they came in and seduced the women, and they bore Geber in the Hebrew, which would be the giants, a hybrid. Why did this happen? Because in the garden, Satan wanted to mess up the seed line of the man Adam and Eve so that the Messiah Jesus could not come through the pure line of the seed of Abraham. So there he beguiled Eve. However, he bore Cain, and that was a bad seed line, the seed of the devil. But God had plan B and let Adam and Eve have a child named Seth, so Messiah did come. But Satan tried again to deny the Messiah from coming by the fallen angel seducing that seed line and bringing in an unclean seed line, the giants. Of course, they did not succeed then because God destroyed them. That was really why the Noah's flood. It was to get rid of that hybrid. They were messing up the seed line. But this was the ploy. And so they came in. Now you want to understand that they are angels, but they have substance. And you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Remember the theme here. Look out. The fallen angels are coming again. We'll get to that.
We were before ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness.
In other words, they were supposed to be born of women, but when they saw the beautiful women, they seduced them, and they were evil, and that's what they did. They turned the grace of God into a flesh thing. Now, Revelation 12 tells us that Michael and his angels are going to kick the devil, the dragon, and his stars out on planet Earth, the stars, children of God minus the flesh. That will be these fallen angels. And they are coming back, and they're going to come into the Christian church that will be deceived here at the end time. And they're coming back with a devil who is the Antichrist, but he'll pretend to be the Messiah. These fallen angels are beautiful. They're lookers. They're charismatic. And since they are so attractive, they're going going to try to seduce the lonely women again. So lonely women looking for a husband, beware. But that's not all. Paul says, woman, have your head covered. It doesn't mean with hair or hat. It means the mind of Christ. But woman also means the men, the bride of Christ, because they also go for the men. So be careful, he warns of their coming. They will even come into a place like this, Trumpet of Truth. I've been getting lots of practice lately with the demonic people coming in. The fallen angels are not here yet, but I can recognize them. But most of the Christian churches will just think they're great swelling preachers, and they are preaching the gospel of their daddy, the Antichrist, who is the devil, but they're going to tell you that that is the Messiah.
And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
In other words, they came to prevent Jesus from coming through the pure line. See, Jesus, the Messiah, had to have a pure seed line to come through, and they were trying to pollute it.
Five, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this.
All of you once knew this. You knew this when you were in your spirit body in the first earth age. You knew God's plan. But see, once you came in here in the flesh, you have probably forgotten that. Except an elect come before you and tell you this. And that's why God sent out that small group that did not betray him to tell you such things as you're hearing right now. Now you know.
The Lord saved the people out of the land of Egypt.
Now he's going to give you some examples of God's children or people in general, who rebelled against God, who did not obey God, did not believe God, did not live by faith, and were destroyed. So he's going to talk about the Hebrew people that God delivered from Egypt.
Afterward destroyed them that believed not.
After they roamed around the wilderness 40 years, murmuring and complaining because they did not believe God's word, God destroyed them. So God says, okay, so same thing's going to happen to the fallen angels and anyone else who believes not my word. Now, that's the warning.
Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate.
Now he goes back to the fallen angels. See, they were supposed to stay with God. We all were with God, and God said, it's your time up. It's your time. I got the right man. I got the woman. Okay, right now, go in there, but do good. I hope you remember me. But they did not wait. They left their habitation and came in their beautiful angelic bodies. Yes, an angel is a young man. Yes, they have substance, and they can impregnate, because they did. And so they left their estate. In other words, they rebelled. They did not listen to the order of God. They don't go by the protocol. God's kingdom has protocol. He has orders of seraphims and teraphims and angels, just like our government has order, our army has order. We have generals and majors and lieutenants and sergeants and privates and so forth. But they broke rank.
But left their own habitation.
They left heaven. It wasn't their time.
He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day.
The great day is the day of the Lord. That would be the seventh trump, when the real Jesus returns. When Jesus comes, he's coming after the Antichrist and after these fallen angels are here. The Antichrist and these fallen angels will be in Jerusalem. The fallen angels will be in the Christian church that's deceived, having what seems to be a great revival, but seducing you and making you think that the Antichrist is the Savior. But when Jesus comes, Revelation chapter 11 says that these fallen angels are going to fight against Jesus and the army Jesus brings with him, and that the fallen angels are going to disintegrate at the brightness of his coming. So they have already been sentenced to die. They refuse to be born again. Born again means born from above. So see, the first step to be saved is to be born from above. And then you come in and recognize you sin, repent, and receive and believe on Jesus your Savior. But they went too far.
Seven.
By the way, reserved in chains, Peter tells us they are held right now. They're not yet disintegrated, because God's going to let them come back with the Antichrist for one more playtime. They're held in a place called Tartarus.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication.
So it gives you another example.
Going after strange flesh.
Strange flesh means the same sex. So he says, all right, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They had aberrated the use of sex. God says male and female, and he did that so there could be a womb for each soul to come through to be born of woman. But Sodom and Gomorrah aberrated that, and so he said he destroyed them with fire. Incidentally, when Sodom and Gomorrah happened, most of you know that story, it was not only the same-sex people, but some of the fallen angels, there had been another influx, so they were also in that. So the fallen angels not only go after the women, but they go after the men, and see, that being the law of the land here now in America, it's a piece of cake for them. See, the devil is the red carpet's being rolled out for him and his fallen angels.
I set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
And of course, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. These fallen angels disintegrated the brightness of Jesus' second coming when the fallen angels try to fight against Jesus and his army, and they would disintegrate the fire of God. God is a consuming fire, will cause them to melt.
Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers,
they sit around thinking of filthy, dirty ways to aberrate sex. And they use parts of their body that are created to store waste in. Instead, they try to reproduce in that, or shall we say consummate that. You know what I'm trying to say here. And that's filthy. They dream up ways to do that.
Defiled the flesh.
They defile it. That's not what the flesh is for.
Fighting angels.
They despise angels. In other words, they despise the order of angels. That was not why they were created. They were created to worship God and guard the people. And really, an angel is a young man, and their order was to wait their turn to come in.
Evil of dignities.
They have no respect for the order of God or for any Christian. When the fallen angels come in, they're going to try to turn the congregation away from the appointed leader of the Christian group who's really telling the truth. That's what they do. They try to turn attention to themselves and break up a church or a congregation that's for real.
9. Yet Michael the Archangel.
Okay, now Michael the Archangel has one of the highest offices in heaven. And even Michael the Archangel respects the authority, unlike these fallen angels. Listen to what Michael does.
When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
The devil was fighting with Michael the Archangel. Remember, the devil was once the covering cherub, but he sat on one side of the mercy seat, and probably Michael on the other. Gabriel stood before God, so he knew him, and he said, where is Moses' body? I want his bones. And so he was arguing with Michael about that, and Michael wouldn't even argue with him. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. Why did the devil want Moses' bones? If you remember, in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, God took Moses up to a high mountain to show him the promised land, and he said, you're not going into that. And God took Moses and buried Moses. There's never been a grave to find Moses' body. There's never been any bones. But when God buries you, that's pretty good. But the reason the devil wanted the bones is Moses was the lawgiver. The law is the word. And the devil wanted proof that the one who gave the word, the Ten Commandments, the Pentateuch, the Torah, that he was gone and dead, and he wanted to desecrate his grave. And Michael said no. Now it's interesting, after that, and it says God buried Moses, you remember Elijah was taken up into a whirlwind, which means a chariot. Elijah did not die. What happened to Elijah? He was transfigured. In the book of Matthew, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God showed Peter and James and John Jesus himself, the Lord. He was in his flesh body, and he transfigured into his spiritual body. And there on the Mount of Transfiguration was Elijah the prophet in his transfigured body, and there was Moses in his transfigured body. Well, when God buries you, I think you get transfigured. We'll leave that alone.
Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not.
They speak of things they don't even know about, and that's what they're going to be doing in the Christian church. They're going to be preaching, but it'll be preaching a lie. Well, we hear a lot of that now.
But what they know naturally as brute beasts.
But they call that what they do, they think that's natural. In other words, sodomy to them is natural. And yet God says it's like a brute animal. Now, all of you, if you perform sodomy, we don't hate you, but you know perfectly well that your body has certain reasons to be. And you know perfectly well, you know that that's not right. So that can be forgiven. So ask forgiveness and ask God to help you to get your emotions straightened out.
In those things, they corrupt themselves.
They corrupt themselves. They bring disease on themselves because when you use a part of your body that is used to store waste until it's eliminated, when you use that for other purposes, it causes disease, AIDS.
11, woe unto them.
Woe unto them.
For they have gone the way of Cain.
Cain was the first murderer, not good.
And now go after the order of Balaam.
Balaam was so disrespectful, he would not obey God, he would not believe God's word. God had to use a little donkey to straighten him out.
And perished in the gainsaying of Korah.
Korah was so rebellious, he said, Moses, I'm of the tribe of Levi too. I can preach and I can do everything just like you. And so he broke rank and tried to take over where God had appointed Moses, and the earth swallowed up Korah and everybody around him. Ooh.
Well, these are spots in your feast of charity.
Spots in your feast of charity. In other words, in your what you call churches, your buildings, they are spots. The fallen angels are coming into the churches. Remember, Paul warned you of them. They're called angels of light, big preachers. Why does he call them spots? In the book of Revelation, chapter 15, it says, those of us who overcome the deception of the Antichrist, including the deception of these fallen angels, we're going to sing the Overcomer song. And I've taught that when I was teaching the book of Revelation. It's found in Deuteronomy 32. And one of the verses says, their spots, not our spot. Now, I'm going to quote William Shakespeare. William Shakespeare said, and this is Shakespeare, this is not Sherry, he said, out, out, damn spot. See, we can't wash the spot of sin away. Only Jesus can do that. Their spot's not our spot. In other words, they have the spot of Satan upon them, the spot of sin, and only the blood of Jesus can wash out the D-spot.
When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear.
And they're going to come in and enjoy our fellowship and just flatter and woo the women and woo the men and try to take over the congregation. And then if you've got someone, a really elect, teaching your group, they're going to try to turn all of you against that one so that you will follow their father, the devil, who will pretend to be the Savior, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ.
Clouds they are without water.
Now, a cloud without water is not much of a cloud, is it?
Carried about of winds.
Hot air winds, hot lies.
Trees whose fruit withereth.
Okay, now see, if you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, your leaf will not wither. They're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, so their leaf withers.
Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up. By the root.
Twice dead means the death of the soul. Jesus says in Matthew 10, fear not him who can kill your body, but rather fear him who can kill both soul and body in hell, in Sheol. In other words, if Jesus tarries, everybody under the sound of my voice, we will die in the flesh. Now, the last generation wants, so we are that last generation, but we don't quite know how long he's going to wait. But everybody dies. But that's not death, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But the death of the soul, your soul is you. And you have a spirit. Your spirit is the intellect of the soul. That would be if you are not saved and you will walk into the lake of fire and that is it. So he says he's already condemned judge these fallen angels and see they are going to die. They cannot repent. The truth is, neither can Satan, because in Ezekiel 28, Tyrus, there is one of Satan's name. God's already sentenced him to perdition, to perish from within.
13, raging waves of the sea, foaming.
They're going to be foaming at the mouth, swelling words.
Of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
He calls them stars in Revelation 12. The dragon, the stars followed Satan. Stars means the children of God minus the flesh. In the book of Job, after chapter 38, when God shows up to talk to Job, he says, Job, do you remember when the morning stars sang together and the children of God shouted for joy? That was talking about all of us stars, children of God minus the flesh. So these are children of God, but they went too far. See, Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. It doesn't mean, it means to be born from above. The first step for all of us is that we had to leave God in the spirit body, come through a woman, and be born from above. And then we come in here and choose Jesus or the devil. The elect, that's another story. A few of the elect, 7,000 of the end, who have the truth. There's been a remnant in every generation to bring forth the mystery of God.
14, and Enoch, the seventh from Adam.
Enoch's name means disciplined and dedicated. He was a disciplined and dedicated man of God, a prophet. Now we're going to find that he lived in the time of these fallen angels, and he walked around preaching and warning everybody, look out, these are fallen angels.
Prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints.
So Enoch says, listen, these are here at the second coming of God, after these same fallen angels are coming back with the Antichrist, Revelation 12. Then Jesus is coming with 10,000 of his saints, and these angels, Revelation 11, are going to disintegrate when they try to fight against Jesus and the army that Jesus is bringing with him. So Enoch prophesied that so long ago. Enoch's name means dedicated and disciplined, and he preached against the fallen angels, and God, they made it so bad for him, the fallen angels did. The Antichrist is probably going to make it so bad for us to try to shut our mouths when we say these are the fallen angels. God took him out of that, transfigured him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. I just realized, I'm disciplined and dedicated. I'm preaching about the fallen angels. Maybe God will take me, and I won't have to die. Oh, God. Well, Jesus is coming, and we'll all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Last generation, generation of fig tree, shall not taste of the physical death.
And Enoch was not, because God took him.
He did not die.
15, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds.
This is Enoch preaching against this ungodly, unseemly act they are doing.
Which they have ungodly committed.
Ungodly, ungodly.
And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sayings have spoken against him.
They are really going to come in, and they are speaking great swelling words. They have strange fire. And if you don't know the difference between the true anointing and a fake anointing, you could be deceived. Watch out for the fallen angels. They're about to appear. They come with the Antichrist. I'm not so sure. A few of them haven't already creeped in.
16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and are now speaking great swelling words,
charismatic,
having men's praises and admiration because of the vantage.
They're so beautiful and charismatic that see the deceived part of the Christian church, five are wise and five are foolish. The deceived half of the body of Christ will just be so taken by them. They're so charismatic and personable, and they know the scriptures, and they're going to say that the Antichrist is the Savior, and there's no reason not to believe them unless you've heard the truth, but you're hearing the truth.
17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken the four of the apostles.
Now, Jude is going to quote what Peter said about these fallen angels and about these end times in which we are living.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. 18, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time.
Peter says they will say, where is the presence of his coming? They've been saying that Jesus is coming for 2,000 years. They've been saying that Antichrist is coming and the fallen angels. Ha ha ha, looks like he's not going. We're just going to go on about our ungodly deeds.
Who would walk after their own ungodly lust.
Just going right on with their sodomy and with their lasciviousness and their sex outside of wedlock.
19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit.
They don't have the Holy Spirit. That's a fake spirit.
20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith.
But you, so you will not be deceived. These fallen angels are about to come. We're the latter part of the fifth trump now, a time of learning, and you're learning. At the sixth trump, they're coming with Satan, and he's coming as the Messiah, calling himself Messiah, Theosata, God saving. They're coming with him. Now, you build up your faith. Remember, the just shall live by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please him. How, Christian, do you build up your faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. But when you hear it, you believe it, and you don't digress from it. You don't go down a rabbit trail.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Praying in the Holy Spirit. We study on Wednesday night. David teaches us to moan with the coo of a dove. And Paul tells us in Romans 8:26, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's word. So what he's saying is what I teach all the time. Know the word of God. Believe the word of God. That is the Bible. Genesis 1, Revelation 22. Know God's plan. And pray in the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray every word through you. You can pray in English, but he'll still do that, and then you've got it covered. The Word and Holy Spirit praying. The Word and Holy Spirit praying.
21. Keeping yourselves in the love of God.
It is up to you to keep yourself in the love of God. When you feel your heart growing cold and you don't feel close to him, guess who moved? It was not the Lord. You moved.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
We're looking for him to come after the Antichrist and the fallen angels come.
22. And of some have compassion, making a difference.
So, of some people that you love so much, and they're more gentle type, tell them that the fallen angels are about to come, and that they are gorgeous, and the Antichrist is coming. Have mercy on them. Make a difference in their life. Ask them to receive Jesus. Pray with them. Bring them the trumpet of truth. I will help them.
23, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire.
Others, you need to slap them with the word of God, not with your hand. You need to shake them by the shoulders and say, do you understand that this is the end, and you're still here going on like you're going to live forever, and you're living in sin, and I'm sitting here eating dinner with you, and you smiling, acting like everything's all right. In just a little while, the devil's coming, calling himself God and the fallen angels, and you who do not know the word, you're going to perish and walk in the lake of fire. Would you please wake up, friend? See, there's some people you have to slap with the word of God, and the others you have to caress with the word of God. Ask Holy Spirit to show you the difference.
Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
We don't even like the smell of deception of anybody.
24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling.
2 Thessalonians 2. It says that the great apostasy, that many of Christians are going to fall away. They're going to be deceived by the Antichrist because they think that that first one coming is Jesus to fly them away. He's going to pretend to be the Savior, peace and safety. And the fallen angels will be preachers in a great revival in the deceived part of the Christian church. But God is able to keep you from falling away. How? That you know the Word and the Holy Spirit pray through you. The Word and Holy Spirit praying. But the great apostasy, the falling away, the whole world's going to worship the devil, and they'll think he's the Savior. and half the body of Christ. But he's able to keep you from being deceived. And that's why I'm teaching you Jude today. That's why Jude wrote this book. Look out, the fallen angels are coming. And they're coming back with their daddy, Abba, devil.
And to present you spotless.
Ha ha, their spot's not your spot. William Shakespeare, the way you get the spot out is the blood of Jesus.
Before the presence of his glory.
Oh, how beautiful to wait for the true Christ and not to marry the Antichrist and not to get seduced by the fallen angels and believe in them. And then you get to gather around Jesus, who's landing his feet right here on planet Earth, not in the air. He's coming right here, 1,000 years reign of peace, to gather around him with great joy. He'll smile at you and you'll smile at him. Oh, the love. Oh, the joy.
Exceeding joy.
I said joy. That's what I said.
25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen, amen, so be it. So Jude warned you, look out, the fallen angels are about to come. And I pray that you are blessed. Now, next time we're going to start a brand new book, and I'll surprise you, okay? It's time now for a mystery moment. This is questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God, because God has appointed me to teach that. At this time, I usually welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, which is such a great place, Scott Merson, who's my twin friend, a man of God. But Scott and his beautiful family took a few little days off spring break to take their family to their lakeside home. They had some business to take care of there and rest, and they'll be back next time for Scott's stuff. And we love them and appreciate them and miss them, and he'll be back next time. I have a question here. Dear Sherry Trumpet, please explain the three earth ages. Well, you know that would probably take me 6 hours from the Bible, but I would see if I can do a mini teaching. All right, 2 Peter 3, you can read quite a few verses there. Peter says the world that then was, then he says the world that now is, and then he says the world to come. The word world in the Greek is eon, which means age, the age that was, the age that now is, and the age to come. It's the same heaven and the same earth, but different dispensations of time. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Your spirit returns. If you return, you were there before, Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7. So we were all with God on this planet in our spiritual body. The dinosaurs and those animals were here in flesh, but we were in a spirit body. Sin had not entered the equation. But Satan said, Isaiah 14, I will be God. He'd been good for eons of time, and he decided he'd be God, and he brought sin into the equation. One-third of God's children immediately followed Satan, and they were in the spirit body. One-third watched the show, lukewarmers, but one-third fought for God. So those two-thirds, Romans 8, 28, there was a judgment. And whom he foreknew, he justified. The ones he stayed married to, foreknew is a marriage term, he said, you're not guilty. That's the elect. But everybody else was guilty. But God loves his children. Rather than destroy them, because that was high treason in heaven, he smashed the first age. Isaiah 45 says it's standing in the water, out of the water. That's not Noah's flood. The firmament came crashing down, and he brought in this second earth age. Genesis 1:1 is the first earth age. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Time. Satan's rebellion, God smashed it because he got so upset. And then it says, and the earth world was without form and void. Was, in the Hebrew, tuhu vavuhu, became. God smashed it. And then he brought us all in one time in the flesh with all that memory forgotten, which third you were to choose, Jesus or the devil. That small remnant, he sent out some of them in every generation to bring forth the oracles of truth, the mystery of God. We're in the second earth age now, one time in the flesh. It's coming to an end when the fifth trump, the sixth trumpet, the Antichrist comes with the fallen angels. He'll call himself Messiah, God's Savior. And then that time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13. Then the seventh trump sounds, and that will be Jesus coming. Then we have 1,000 years. Everybody in the spiritual body, the Zadok, the elect, will be teaching with Jesus right here on planet Earth. At the end of that, we have the lake of fire. All who are lost and the devil will go into the lake of fire. The earth will be rejuvenated, and then we'll have the third heaven and earth again, and that will be heaven on earth, this paradise restored. There you have it. Now, I have scripture for all of that, so we have taught this definitely, you know, and very definitively in other places. I hope that helps you. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me, because I want you to live with me in the eternal heaven on earth. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you prayed that prayer, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. So please call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. From the north, the south, and the east and west, Father. Everyone under the sound of my voice, and even those who are not, my Father, in Jesus' name, I ask by the Holy Spirit, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let all congestion in the lungs and the bronchial area be cleared up. Let sinuses be healed. Let headaches, migraine headaches, go. Let deaf ears hear. Let blind eyes see. Let arthritis be gone. Let pain stop. Make bones strong. Heal gums and heal teeth and heal backbone and spine. Fibromyalgia be gone. Pancreatic cancer be gone. Cancer be gone. Live in Jesus' name. Stomachs be healed, colon, perfect digestive system, bladders, hearts be healed, pancreas, liver be healed in Jesus' name, blood be purified in Jesus' name, bones, feet, and toes, walk in Jesus' name. Take up your bed and walk in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He is Yahweh Rapha. He is the Lord who healeth thee. Now, for those of you who were healed then, we give God the glory. Also, feel free to leave that message on my telephone. My love line of the week, from my heart to your heart, be kind. Everyone you meet is carrying a heavy load. I know Jesus told us to cast our care on him, but most people don't. So be kind. Everyone you meet is carrying a heavy load. Thank you so much for listening to Trumpet of Truth today. Remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, he says, thy word is truth. Please tell others about Trumpet of Truth. And until next time, this is Sherry Mudlock saying, I love you and I bless you. And may God keep you in his truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
got CDs, tapes, and videos, radio and TV shows, conferences, retreats, and seminars. We got books and magazines to read on everything from A to Z, and a web to surf from anywhere we are. But I hope with all this information buzzing through our brains, and we will not let our hearts forget the most important thing. It's love. And there are fights in my own house on given days. It's like something's lurking deep inside, can't seem to be satisfied. But life was not meant to be lived this way, 'cause it's true for every man and woman, every boy and girl, that our only hope for living here together in this world is love.
Yes. Listening to WMIE, Bavard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Time began, was preordained a mighty plan that I should walk with him alone, the cords of trust unbroken. But fate foresaw my wandering eye that none could yet restrain. Violate the friendship I would cause him so much pain. And every time I close my eyes, I see the nails, I hear the cries. He did not keep himself away. No stranger to my pain. He walked a mile in my shoes. He walked a mile.
was his anthem. No feeble blow from tongue or pen could ever sway my love for him. Across the echoed hills he trod and reached into a mile in my shoes. He walked a mile. My pain, he walked a mile in my shoes.